We are live with another edition of the Patriots Beat podcast here on the CLNS Media Network. And I guess as scripted as a scripted podcast intro can go, we're sort of taking things day by day here at CLNS Media in the host chair, just like our Patriots that we're covering are at the quarterback position. So I am Mike Cadlick, filling in for Ryan Spagnoli. And I'm here with Real Alex Barth from 98.5 The Sports Hub. Alex, how are we doing today?
Hey. This is like... I ascribe to the Felgren mask, you know, point of view. I don't agree with them on a ton of things. I agree with them on this. Nobody wants to watch me and you play grab ass here. I had a good day. You had a good day. We get it. Let's get to the football here.
No, really. Tell me how your day was. I'm curious to hear about it.
I was down at Gillette. It's mainly football related. So you tell me where to start.
Awesome. Let's talk about it. So we're going to get right into it on Pats vs. Packers coming up this Sunday at 4:25. We will start with injuries because both these teams are pretty banged up here heading into week four. It's early, only in the first quarter or so of the season, but both these teams are really going through it right now.
It's football,
we'll start with, yeah, I know. We'll start with the Patriots' opponents here in the Green Bay Packers. I'm looking at their injury report right in front of me today, and two of their stars, Jaire Alexander and David Bakhtiari, both did not participate in practice. Backup running back A.J. Dillon was limited earlier in the week. He did practice today. De facto number one wide receiver, Alan Lazard, was limited as well. Mercedes Lewis, old head tight end up in Green Bay, did not participate. And rookie wide receiver Christian Watson did end up practicing today. So any initial thoughts off the top just on the Packers' sort of depleted roster going into week four?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you start with Alexander and Bakhtiari, and I'll start with Alexander. I actually think he's underrated, and he was an All-Pro 2 years ago. Took a little bit of a step back last year, but I think there's a conversation for him in the top five cover corners in the league right now.
Completely agree. Yeah,
he was a 100% usage rate guy. Played every single snap through the first 2 weeks. Got hurt last week. Again, was limited yesterday. The Packers did what was called a jog through, so not quite a walk through, but not a full practice. If they're missing him, that's big. Now, they have Eric Stokes on the other side, who's a good player. The guy I was a big fan of in the draft a couple years ago, but
they took him in the first round, didn't they?
Was it late in the first? Did they trade up in the second?
I think they raced for him up.
It might have been in the first round. Good pick. But anyway, the point being, Alexander is a massive loss. I mean, that's not just a number one corner. That's you know, we did this with J.C. Jackson. You know, is he number one? Is he a lockdown? Is he an ace? Jaire Alexander's an ace. Playing flat, simple.
Totally.
And he's a huge part of what the Packers do defensively. If he can't play, that's big. I don't know that it entirely flips the game, but because, you know, I would say, well, man, you're going to, you know, take advantage with Kendrick Bourne running all over the field. Patriots might disallow that on their own, but maybe it's Devontae Parker.
Little Jordan Humphrey instead.
he'd be a big loss. Bakhtiari's a little different. He hasn't played a full game in 2 years. He tore his ACL late in 2020. Played his first game of this season last week, and he played every other drive. He's a good football player, though. Like, he is. If he can't play, that's a big deal. The other interesting one to me, really interesting one, is A.J. Dillon, who you mentioned. You called him a backup running back, which I guess is technically true, but it's really...
If you look at the depth chart, it's true, but, I mean, he gets just as many touches.
It's arguably the best 1-2 running back punch in the league. They'll both play, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon's a big guy, 250-pound back. Leads the league in yards after contact per carry. And when you look at a Patriots defense that's missed 21 tackles in three games, is fourth most in the league. A.J. Dillon's a guy who, in theory, poses a massive problem to them. So I'd be shocked if he didn't play. But if he's a guy who's not 100%, you know, can you take advantage of that? Is he maybe not as much a part of the game plan? So that's an interesting one. And I'll say this, too, and we can get into this later in the show, but my big overarching take about this game, and I think a lot of what we do on this show and a lot of how I try to structure my coverage is getting fans ready for the game, right? What should you know? Here's what you should be looking at. Here's what to expect, this and that. The one thing I would say to fans to prepare for this game, if you're a casual fan who doesn't watch, you know, you watch Patriots, you don't watch the other teams a ton, you don't follow them. This is not the Green Bay Packers team you remember last time they played the Patriots. This is not the Green Bay Packers team that you probably think of when you think of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball 40, 45 times a game. He's averaging 31 pass attempts per game this year. They haven't broken 300 passing yards in a game yet this season. When it comes to pass attempts, they're 22nd in the league. Their pass rate is 21st in the league. This is a run-dominant offense between A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. And even when they throw the ball, they're throwing it to those two guys, to the backs. This is a smash-mouth, ground-and-pound football team that is also good. You know, they're even though they have Aaron Rodgers, their carrying trait might be their defense. They've got a ton of studs on defense.
That's what I was just going to say.
Let you get into it in a second. In some ways, and this is part of why I think this game's super interesting, in some ways, the Packers are built very similarly to the Patriots, at least philosophically. Now, they probably have more talent across the board than the Patriots do, but the overall philosophy right now, even with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, they have no receivers. Their receivers, they totally cleared house on that. The overall philosophy is actually very similar.
Yeah, and just kind of like you said, building off that, and kind of we'll get into it more in depth when we go over some of the offensive and defensive stuff going into the game on Sunday. But yeah, just like you said, it's really flipped from the Packers of old, right? You think Rodgers goes back and slings it to his guys like Davante Adams or Jordy Nelson or, you know, whoever else he was chucking the ball to past Jimmy couple of years. And then, and a team that you don't really think of really anyone on their defense aside from Clay Matthews because of, like, you know, the long hair that he, you know, flew back there. Great. Not taking anything away from Clay Matthews there. But now their defense is filled with studs like, you know, Jair Alexander. Quay Walker has played pretty well so far his rookie year.
Yep.
Zadir, I mean, they're loaded. They're loaded on defense.
Kenny Clark could be a big factor in this game.
Yeah. The other one was, Rashawn Gary, too, at linebacker, who's been a stud over the last couple of years. So they're loaded. They're loaded on the back end as long as they're healthy. So I guess we'll kind of see what happens there with Alexander as the week goes on.
Right.
But getting into the
Devondre
Patriots.
Devondre Campbell, who you were thinking of? Devondre Campbell's another one.
Yes, yes.
You almost said Zadarius Smith. He was there last
year. Yes, I did.
He's now in Minnesota.
Vikings.
I think you were thinking of Devondre Campbell. I've done that a couple times this week.
Yeah, I think he leads them in tackles. I was looking earlier, too. So he's been dominant for that Packers front seven. But the one we care about is the Patriots list, obviously. The big one here is Mac Jones. But let's kind of look at the other ones. Yadni Kajust, swing tackle, didn't participate today. Lawrence Guy also was not a participant again. That's what I was going to kind of build off when I went to cut you off in the first part, was just
with the running
trying to stop the run with the running game.
Could be a big
that's
loss.
That'll be a big loss if they, you know, having to stop Dillon and Aaron Jones there. Raekwon McMillan limited, Jacoby Myers limited, Jalen Mills limited, came up with a hamstring this week. That could be interesting with how they're going to cover their receivers. Adrian Phillips was also limited, and Mac Jones obviously did not participate. Let's talk about the other guys before we get into Jones, because we'll have a lot to say about Jones, but kind of just your thoughts on Guy not being there today. And also Raekwon McMillan on the back end of the defense there.
Yeah. I mean, those are two of your better run defenders. I think those are guys that you hope you see this week. McMillan, it feels like, is like right on the verge. You know what I'm saying?
He
didn't play a ton against Pittsburgh, but he was active. He was inactive last week. It's a thumb injury. I'm not as concerned with him. Guy, I wonder about. The really interesting one for me, though, look, he's been out there, but Jalen Mills he popped up on the injury report last week. We didn't really hear much about it. He didn't finish the game against the Ravens with the hamstring, and now he's on the injury report again. We never heard anything about it, why he didn't finish the game or whatever. So this is another game. We kind of talked about it with when I was on with Ryan. We were doing the Steelers. You know, the Patriots built their defense and their secondary to better handle these like faster, shiftier receivers, Isaiah McKenzie, right? And they did a very good job of that. The flip side is they really don't have the size in the secondary they used to, with Jalen Mills really being their one big, true boundary outside corner. And then you have Jack Jones, who's a rookie who's played well, but is more solid now, I guess, was more of a question mark earlier in the season. But this is a bigger group of receivers. Christian Watson's a big guy.
Right.
Romeo Dubs a big guy. You got to worry about the tight ends here. Robert Tonyan is a name we haven't brought up yet as a guy who's going to be a factor. So
Lazard too, if he plays, obviously.
Al Lazard's a big guy. You're right. He's on there. So
yeah,
this you kind of need size if they're going to throw. And I know I said defending the run's the big thing in this game, and I still stand by that. But
sure,
still Aaron Rodgers. You can't totally let the pass go, right? You need bigger corners to defend bigger receivers. So this could be like a sneaky big game for Jalen Mills and his injury really. And, you know, obviously with Mac hurt, it's kind of slipped under the radar, but we really haven't heard anything. We haven't heard any updates. Maybe that's good. Maybe he's fine. And it's just usual wear and tear.
Right.
Maybe, you know, another week we get a lot more updates, but Max the quarterback, and that's what people want to hear about. But that's actually
no one's really asked about Mills because everyone's right. all focused on Mac. Yeah.
Mills is Mac's side, obviously. Mills is really the injury that stands out to me this week. I think he seems pretty banged up. He's probably not gonna play. Raekwon McMillan, I am not super worried about. Jalen Mills is the biggest question to me beyond Mac.
Want to take a quick minute to tell you about Bet Online. Football is back, and BetOnline is your number one source for all your football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football odds, news, and game matchups, including this year's opening week's games. BetOnline is your continued source for all your wagering information, including live betting, free contests, and live scores. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head over to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50%, yes, that's right, 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I'm curious, too, kind of how they, if Mills can't go, how they do it from the cornerback position. Because, I mean, a guy like Jonathan Jones has been a stud this year. He was pretty good last year, too, but he's good as a two, right? And that's kind of the conversation we had with Mills going into this year is, okay, Mills was good as a two with JC at one, but Mills has stepped up as one. Jones has stepped up as two. If he can't go, how does Jones play as the number one corner and kind of how do they fill in the back end? So, I mean,
it's probably a zone thing. I think you also kind of hunt matchups, right? You try to get him at least a speed guy. So it's somebody more stylistically, you're not going to put him on Alan Lazard, who's a 50-50 ball guy. Probably right. You know, Christian Watson hasn't played a ton since he had a blunder in week one. So I guess he's on Romeo Dubs.
Blunder's an understatement there. Holy crap.
you probably throw Jack Jones with help on Alan Lazard. You hope Kyle Duggar's back to handle Robert Tonyan. Look, Robert Tonyan's not Mark Andrews, but he's a damn good tight end. That would probably be the setup for me. And then it's Miles Bryant. Again, guessing what they would do. I would play Marcus Jones more, but that doesn't seem to be around the corner. So, and then you probably get Miles Bryant on whoever it is they're featuring in the slot in this game, whether it's Samari Toure, the rookie, or Amari Rodgers, the second-year player. They've kind of, shuffled between those guys. Or Randall Cobb, actually, is the other one. Randall Cobb will probably be the slot guy. That's Miles Bryant's matchup.
Should be interesting how they do at a corner, but let's get into the main one here, and that's Mac Jones. So Mac Jones obviously suffered that high ankle sprain against the Ravens last week. Has not practiced this week, but some interesting reports coming out of Foxborough today from ESPN, NFL Network's Mike Giardi. So Giardi said that today Mac is in the facility. He was participating in game planning. He has told multiple teammates himself to not count him out of the game plan, or not count him out of the game, rather. And he's still operating as if he has a chance. Giardi followed up and said the practice is scheduled for 12:30. That was obviously prior to Mac not practicing. But then Giardi followed up after practice as well, saying that a unnamed Patriots player told him, "We love Mac. He's a tough guy, but he's hurting pretty good." Then that he hopes everyone's kind of smart about this and that it's a long season. I'm of the mindset that there's absolutely no way Mac plays this weekend. I think this whole thing is just a lot of gamesmanship on the Pats' end. I think they're just kind of doing it, honestly, to maybe throw the Packers off a little bit. I don't see a way that Mac plays this weekend. There's too much on the line, and it's almost it seems kind of nonsensical to throw him out there this early. He might be ready for Detroit, but I just don't see it. And I also think that, kind of building off that, the reports of this rift, between Mac and the team, where we don't know what's going, like, they want him to get the surgery, he doesn't want to get the surgery. I feel like that, I don't really see that here. I kind of see this as Mac and the team being on the same page as far as put these reports out there, make it seem like I'm maybe going to play, throw out the two game plan story that Graziano from ESPN reported, and kind of just make the Packers think for a week. But ultimately, I don't see Mac going this weekend. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly part of it. I'd be shocked if he played. I don't doubt that he wants to play.
Right. And okay. Fair.
So Mac's never missed a game due to injury before. I mean, going back to high school, he's never been in this spot. So I think what you have here, a combination of things. I think he has a little bit of that edge where, when he got the starting job at Alabama his senior year, it's because he played well at the end of his junior year after Tua had the hip injury.
Right.
When Mac came in, they had other top recruits coming in at that point. Mac was by no means guaranteed to be the starter.
It was Bryce Young, wasn't it? He beat out Bryce Young.
Yeah. Yeah. Mac was not, you know, it Tua was going to finish the year and they were going to go right to Bryce Young. Right. Mac showed enough at the end of his junior year to get the job his senior year. The reason I'm telling this story, Mac won his job in college because the starter got hurt. Fast forward to, you know, the Patriots. I'm not saying Mac would have never won the starting job, but was it expedient a little bit because Cam Newton had a foot injury? He had to go get looked at. Then all of a sudden there's that COVID issue and he had to sit out that practice against the Giants. Mac lights it up a week later. Cam Newton's no longer a Patriot. We used to say this about Tom Brady all the time, right? With Tom Brady, why he wouldn't let anybody else take snaps. Tom knows how he got his job. That was kind of a common phrase. I think there's a little bit of that with Mac Jones where Mac knows how he's gotten, how far he knows how he's gotten to this point. Right.
Right.
I'm not saying Brian Hoyer is going to come in and steal the job from him, but it's a principle thing. You know,
you don't think Zappy can do it.
I'm saying if Mac's going to miss a long period of time, Zappy.
No, right. Right. Right.
Conversation.
Yeah.
I think Mac's just paranoid to get, to not be out there. I think at the same time, the second level of this is Brady did have that same mentality. That was maybe Belichick's favorite part about him.
Right.
Is that he did not miss time. I'm sure Max hearing behind the scenes, you know, this, you know, great, you know, Iron Man stretch that Tom Brady had. And I'm sure that puts pressure on him. And then I think the third element of it is, and like I said before, he's never been hurt before. I don't think he may not know exactly what he's what this entails. Right.
Right.
Oh, I'm hurt. I'll play. He may not have a full understanding, just having never been through the situation personally in his life. He may not really understand exactly what's going on when he says, oh, I'm going to play. Don't count me out. I'm going to play. Right. So I buy it. I buy that he wants to play. I buy that he thinks he's going to play all of that. That's awesome. I love it. That's absolutely the mentality you want in your starting quarterback. Right. And after the back injury thing a couple weeks ago, where that one kind of went the other way, where it seemed like, is he being a little soft? He had to get the x-rays, and then he was fine. This is great to see. It's excellent to see. That being said, I can't find any evidence of a guy who's played on a high ankle sprain the next week. If it's happened, either it wasn't reported or it, you know, has somehow escaped the minds of the internet.
So, or it was a quarterback, though, because I feel like that's the position where you can maybe do it. And I'm of the mindset where you...
Way back... Like pre-ACL Brady, there was one year where like late in the season, he suffered. Nobody ever knew what it was. It was a leg injury. They never specified, but he still played. Like he limped off the field after game. There was an instant report that he was going to be out for a long time. And then we never really heard about it again.
Sure.
So somebody brought up that may have been like at the time, high ankle sprain was one of the injuries that was speculated.
Yeah.
But you know, it's never been for sure. It would be really impressive if he plays, especially when you look at last week, how much he moved around and what a big part of his game was.
He impressed me with the legs.
He's not, if he does play, he's not going to be able to do that. I mean, just plain and simple, physically, he's not going to be able to do it. So I believe all the reports that he wants to play, that he thinks he's going to play. I don't see how it happens. I think he's going to be back sooner than people expect. I agree with that. Detroit maybe is a bit much, but
if he could play,
it'd be a great story. I just don't see how it happens.
If he rests, I feel like if he rests, no surgery, kind of lets it go down as is. I feel like Detroit's maybe a reasonable spot to try and do it. But there's, I don't know, like kind of going off what I was just saying, there has been quarterbacks in the past who have played in games with rather debilitating injuries, I guess. Like even last, I know it's different and it's your ribs, but like Justin Herbert last week kind of went out there and just, if you protect him and you can stand up straight, you can kind of sling the ball as much as possible.
Well,
Philip Rivers had played on an ACL before. I mean,
so let me push back on the Herbert thing. Cause I've seen this out there today. Two things.
It's definitely different. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not your, go ahead. Sorry.
One, Mac isn't, as much as I love Mac Jones and I got called a big time Mac apologist and a Mac baby and all that after the last show.
Yeah, that's what you
like
are.
Mac Jones. He's not Justin Herbert. Two, Justin Herbert should not have played in that game. That was monumentally stupid. If this was a Chargers podcast, I would have spent an hour ripping. I have spent time on the show ripping Brandon Staley for being an idiot. We would have done an hour on it. He should not have been out there. He should not have played that game.
He should have started the game.
No.
You need to get a win. They were already 1-1, and they're playing in one of the hardest divisions in football.
He is a 25-year-old all-pro quarterback with broken ribs. The last thing you need. The last thing you need.
Okay,
is
but
one
I'm not,
of those ribs going into his lung, and now he's lost for the season. That was
okay, but
so
they're also
wildly
a Super Bowl caliber roster. They're a Super Bowl caliber roster in the hardest
roster,
division in football,
up,
playing an AFC opponent, competing for a wild card. I put him.
You don't
playing
rip-
at the end. Him playing at the end when it got out of hand and Jacksonville was giving it to him, take him out of the game. That was stupid. Staley kind of blamed that on Herbert at the end, which I didn't like. He said Justin wanted to be out there. Which
no, Brandon Staley,
as the head coach, you take him out at that point.
Exactly.
But I don't blame them for putting him in the game to start.
I 100%.
You're a Super Bowl favorite. Or a Super Bowl caliber.
The Jaguars had not won on the West Coast in like five years.
Okay, but it's a new year with a new team, with a new coach, with a second-year quarterback who's looking to take a leap. You can take.
He should not.
You got to win games.
You got to
win games in this league, Alex.
Against the one thing the Jaguars have, they got a hell of a pass rush. They got very, very lucky. Anyway,
but they have a decent line.
On,
I don't know.
On comparing okay. it, because if we were covering the Chargers, I would have ripped them for playing him in that game. Now,
and we probably would have had this similar conversation.
Ankle,
but
right, a sprained ankle is a little different. It's not as threatening. It's not as easy to aggravate. I don't think you can necessarily make it like. You're not at a higher risk to you know, break your ankle or anything like that,
right.
I believe. So I wouldn't it's a little apples and oranges to me. But it is fair to – like, guys play hurt, yes. But I think they're different situations.
No, I agree. But, well, let's tie this back into Mac trying to fight for his job a little bit, as you said. And we will give a quick shout-out to our sponsors at LinkedIn.
Okay.
Because these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you can have access to the best qualified candidates available, and that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. So it's super, super duper easy to post a job on LinkedIn Jobs. You simply add it, and then you can add both your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile picture, and that'll spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to hire, who you'd like to interview and hire. You know, we're getting into the winter time. It's nearing the end of 2022, so it's time to finish the year strong. The right team member vetted by LinkedIn Jobs is the best way to help you do that. This is why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs as number one in delivering quality hires versus their leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedinjobs.com/beat. That's linkedinjobs.com/beat. You can see it on the lower third there. To post your job for free, terms and conditions do apply. Let's get back into it. We can start off with the offense here. We both are of the mindset, like we just said, that Mac Jones is not going to play. All signs point to Brian Hoyer at the helm for the Patriots
offense. All signs,
offense.
I mean, Bill, that's the one thing Bill has confirmed, is that Hoyer will start if it's not Mac. The
and
one thing
say,
he gave us.
If there's one lesson you've taught me so far in this industry, Alex, is that you listen to Bill Belichick when he tells you things.
When he actually gives
Jelani
you something.
Tavai. Yes.
Jelani Tavai is going to start a quarterback on Sunday. There you go.
Exactly. So we will take Belichick at his word there that Brian Hoyer will go if Mac Jones can't.
Yeah.
Hoyer is 0-11 in his last 11 starts. However, another tidbit that I found while kind of prepping for this week's writing and show is that Hoyer is 10-6, was 10-6 with the Cleveland Browns and has the best record in Cleveland Browns starting quarterback history.
That is true.
So double-edged sword there. Ultimately, what do you think of Hoyer being at the helm? How does the offense switch? And kind of just your thoughts on Hoyer taking the reins here for this Packers week.
So I think at least when it comes to this game, right, maybe next week against Detroit, there's more variation. I actually think this should be a run-heavy game plan either way. Now, it's probably more run-heavy with Hoyer. Like with Mac, I'm thinking you go like 50-50. Now we're getting in. I saw some people said it in the chat. We're getting into that Buffalo Bills wind game territory if we're putting Hoyer under center, right? But I think this is a game where the Patriots should run the ball a good amount. This has been their recipe against elite quarterbacks. And over the last couple of years, you know, post Brady, and it's generally worked. Run the football, kill the clock, shorten the game, limit the total number of possessions. and get aggressive on defense and try to force some turnovers. Like, that's kind of how the Patriots have hung in these games, have won. You know, the Buffalo game last year, have won a game. Granted, that game had the wind, but I think it's a run-heavy game. I would have said that before Mac got hurt, but it's going to be Hoyer. I think it should be a healthy dose of both Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. Both of those guys appear to be healthy. The offensive line, starting offensive line, looks like it's healthy. Take advantage of that. Run it down their throat. That, to me, is what the offense should be this week.
And does that help them? And, I mean, silly question, I guess, but do they have what it takes against this dominant Packers defense? I mean, this Packers defense is really legit. We said it in the first segment, but, I mean, they have guys.
I think people are
– I was going to say, yeah, their defense is legit. I think they've given up, like, 15 points a game in the first three. Two games against the Vikings, which they lost, but they played the Vikings, the Bucks, and I can't remember who the third game was, but I mean, they've played some pretty viable opponents and their defense is playing solid. Do you think they can kind of get it going on the run game?
I think so, because if you look at the Packers' weaknesses, and look, they do have Kenny Clark, and Kenny Clark's going to cause problems, but around him, teams have been able to run the ball in the Packers through 3 weeks. Packers are 24th in the league in rushing yards per attempt allowed, 4.9, almost 5 yards a carry against them. Mm-hmm. They're above average against the pass. They're either top 10 or just outside of the top 10, defending the pass in most major categories. They're bottom of the league against the run. So, yeah, I think the Patriots should be able to run the ball well in this game. Will it be well enough to overcome Packers rushing game and Aaron Rodgers and all that? I think you need some help from the defense. You're going to need a turnover, too. You need to win the turnover battle. Getting a turnover. You have to win the turnover battle. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that it's... I think the running game should have a good week this week. I think they should be able to run the ball off and run the ball well against the Packers.
No, I agree. I'm looking at the I'm pulling this up from the chat here. They did play the Garbage Bears, was their third game.
What's the one thing the Garbage Bears do well? Is run the football. Knock on the, what is it, 24 pass attempts through three games or whatever that ludicrous low number is. Right. Well, what does it mean when you throw the ball 25 or 45 times through three games? It means you run the ball a lot. Bears are averaging 5.4 yards a carry. It's fifth in the league. I'm not saying the Bears are going to come out here and win the Super Bowl. That's not what I'm saying, but
they're somehow 2-1, which I don't get. Because
they can run the ball. They are really good at running the football. That's why.
Okay. Well, I guess pairing that up then with what you just said, the Packers having a subpar run game or run defense. The Patriots, I saw a stat earlier. I don't remember exactly where I pulled it from. I think it was Football Outsiders. I think they were number one in DVOA rushing the football. So that can kind of line up against each other pretty well. I think the Pats, if they're going to win this game or at least keep it close, it's going to be because of that run game. It's not going to be because of Brian Hoyer. He's going to kind of take the reins and be the game manager that he's kind of always
been
in his career.
He's not the driver. Yeah, exactly. He's in the passenger seat. He's in the back seat. Passenger seat maybe next week. Back seat this week.
Yeah, give him the back seat. So a question that I actually saw on your station, 98.5, the Sports Hub, earlier today, and I kind of wanted to bring it to you, and I'll give you my take, but would you rather have, if Mac can play, would you rather have Mac on Sunday at, say, 70%, or would you rather 100% Brian Hoyer? What gives you a better chance to win?
I'm going to take a cop out here. I don't know.
Typical Barth.
Right. Here's two options. I know I said earlier, like, you're not at more risk to break the ankle if you play on a sprained ankle. If Mac can't, if the window to return to full health is what it is, right? If it's, you know, hey, if you don't have surgery, it's 6 weeks till it's fully healed, period, end of story, it's not going to get any worse. Give me Mac at 70%, right? At least to start. I think you give him a bit of a leash, but you see, if the medical team comes in and says, well, you know, if you get hit wrong or you slide wrong, your cleat gets caught in the turf, now we're looking at you definitely can't play and it's two and a half months.
Right.
I'm not risking that, right? So that's my caveat. As long as he can't extend, and obviously he can extend, you know, he get hurt somewhere else, hurt his shoulder here or whatever. Right. As long as he can't extend the recovery time of the actual injury, if he truly is 70%, now I think that number is generous.
I think it's
closer to 50 and probably under, because you're losing the whole runaround part of his game. Right. If it's really 70% and he can't add any time to the injury, then I'll take that. I think you're probably looking at like 40%. In that case, yeah, you're just going to run the ball a ton anyway. Then put Hoyer out there.
Yeah, I agree. Give Hoyer the shot. I mean, well, look, obviously
I'd like to see Zappe, but again, it's another conversation.
I mean, I had this conversation with my buddies earlier in the week. Of course, we want to see Bailey Zappe because that's more fun. But realistically, to win the game, you're going out there to win a game. You're going to put Brian Hoyer in over Bailey Zappe.
Right.
He's more ready right now. And I would agree too, just on that question, I would go with Hoyer as well. I think that similar to the Kansas City game where they played it close for a little while in 2020 and it ultimately got away from them at the end.
Right.
But they game planned it correctly around Hoyer. He made a couple bonehead mistakes. You know, did he run the clock out at the end of the half, or did he
throw took a sack at the end of the half when they were in field goal range?
Yeah.
The thing to remember,
he kind of tried to make too much happen. Go ahead.
Right. That moment, I think, is that moment that it snowballed on him from there.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say about that game, and people keep going back to that game, and how can you start this guy? Look what he did last time he was on the field, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
He found out on Friday. He was starting on Sunday.
Yeah.
He had a worry that he had COVID. He didn't even know if he was going to play. He's testing the whole time.
Right. He said that earlier, or yesterday, right. I think. Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's not just him. I mean, everybody on that offense, they had to essentially create a brand new offense in 2 days. They weren't going to run with Brian Hoyer what they did with Cam Newton.
Right.
I don't think they're going to run with Brian Hoyer what they did with Mac Jones, but it's going to look a hell of a lot more
But it's
similar.
A lot different. Yeah, totally.
I don't think it's necessarily different calls. I think you maybe just have to take some stuff out. I think you can call what you've been calling, just not all of it. Whereas with the Cam Newton and Brian Hoyer, I mean, you would have called different plays. You would have
run the different
offense compared to what you had prepared for the whole week. So
right.
I think I understand why people want to bring that game up. It's not totally irrelevant, but you really can't put a ton of weight on it.
Yeah, I agree. The one other thing on the offensive side of the ball I want to touch on before we get into defense, and I wrote about it a little bit on clnsmedia.com in my game preview, which you can check out now. I published that earlier this afternoon. But is the wide receiver room, because you're looking at Jakobi Meyers, who was limited in practice again. You're looking at Kendrick Bourne, who has his low snap count again last week, outpaced by Lil Jordan Humphrey, which again, it's a blocking thing. People look at it on the surface and they see that Lil Jordan Humphrey outsnaps Kendrick Bourne, and you're like, oh my God, what's going on? But he's a better blocker. They keep him in line, and it's kind of, that's the way they're using Lil Jordan. And it's good because their tight ends have been kind of not great in the passing game, or in the blocking game rather. But then you also look at Devontae Parker, who had a career day last week, 5 for 156. I think I kind of want to see if Jakobi plays, but if not, I think Parker's going to get a ton of targets again. I think he kind of showed last week that he can be that guy for them, you know, go up and get it type of guy. I think also with a even more streamlined offense this week than we've seen with Mac Jones, I think he's going to be a big target for Hoyer. I think it's going to be a kind of 1-2 read thing, and it's going to be Parker to Bourne, Parker to Aguilar, vice versa. And it's not going to be as opened up. So I don't know. I'm just kind of curious what you think about the receiver room as a whole going into Packers week.
If Jakobi plays, I mean, I think you're looking at like 15 targets.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If Jakobi plays, it's him. And if he doesn't, it's Parker.
I don't think it's Parker because he's running down the field. I think it's a check down heavy offense. Honestly, the guy I look for after Jakobi, especially with how much they're playing him, is LJ Humphrey. Because he's kind of
running.
They're
not running a lot of routes with him, are they?
They're running decent. They're using him to block in the run game and on screens.
Right.
But when he does run routes, it's 7 to 15 yards, find the hole in the zone, sit down, catch the football. That's going to be their bread and butter. That is the safest play in their playbook. When they threw the ball against the Chiefs in that game, that's what they did. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be, you know, you'll see some screens. And that honestly should be an Aguilar more than anybody else. But I think, you know, when they're trying to throw the ball, you know, you get a third and six, third and seven. It's going to be Jakobi Meyers. If it's not Jakobi Meyers, it's going to be LJ Humphrey. I'd love to see Bourne in that role. I think he's excellent in that role.
Right.
Apparently that's just not going to happen.
They're not doing
I'm here to tell you, you know, we're reporters. So we're here to tell you what we think they're going to do, not what we would do. Nobody cares what I'm going to do because it's not going to happen. I'm not in charge. Jakobi Meyers, I think you're going to see a good amount of LJ Humphrey on Sunday.
So Barth thinks this is going to be the Lil Jordan Humphrey game up at Lambeau Field.
Jakobi game, but
plaster
I think you're going to see a good amount of Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the opening act, but like his second billing.
Okay, so in theory then, Meyers doesn't play. And Does it turn into, is it just, are they toast if Meyer doesn't play because they have nothing to go in the passing game?
Actually, okay, so I think at that point, maybe it's Jonnu Smith.
Okay.
And Jonnu Smith, as a good yards after catch guy, should be heavily utilized in this game.
Right.
I think if it's Hoyer and Myers isn't playing, I think we're in full-on Buffalo windstorm game territory. I think
I agree.
You know, I think at that point, if Myers can play and throw a ball a little bit, if it's not him, you know, I'd go John or somebody in the chat, why aren't the tight ends playing more? They should be. But if you're down Mac, you're down Jacoby, get ready for another three-pass game. I think that.
And they're not going to, if it goes into that, can't even attempt to pass the ball game, then they're screwed. I think they're done in that regard, because Rodgers is going to get his at least a little bit to, they can't play it like they did in Buffalo. They're just not going to be able to do it. Any more thoughts before we get into defense?
I wish I had a fullback this week. Yeah, actually, okay, yeah, let me add this.
Okay.
I wonder if Myers doesn't play, if they elevate a receiver, if they elevate Lynn Bowden. He'd be an interesting player to have in this game. Good slot receiver.
Yeah.
Wildcat quarterback potential. Somebody in the chat before said, you know, guaranteed Jacoby Myers pass this week. If you can get, you know, over under half a pass attempt for Jacoby Myers, that over probably looks pretty good, right, Mike? But you know, Lynn Bowden, especially if Myers can't play, would be a similar guy.
He's another double pass candidate too. Lynn Bowden's a double pass
candidate. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
played a little quarterback Kentucky with
him.
Yeah.
You can put him in the slot. I mean, he's going to kind of do similar things to what Jacoby Myers does. That would be interesting to see if they elevate Lynn Bowden. They're up to some real freaky stuff this week. If they elevate Lynn Bowden, it's going to be a wild game play. It's going
to
be a real,
I was
going
to say, do they even have it in them to kind of run that Wildcat offense with Lynn Bowden right away? I feel like there would have had to be a lot more prep work in that.
It's been a month.
Yeah, I suppose. But I don't think we're seeing that. So let's move on to the defense. And as we were just kind of talking about, Aaron Rodgers probably going to get his on Sunday. But the Packers offense has not been as good as we'd expect. You'd expect them to be this year. They're only averaging, I think, 15 points a game. Rodgers has not been that two-time defending MVP that he was over the last 2 years. Obviously, he's got a slow start going on. Probably a lot to do with the loss of Davante Adams, because they really have nothing in the receiver room anymore. Alan Lazard looks like their number one guy. I guess initial thoughts on how the defense can play against this struggling Packers offense, and initial thoughts, and then we can kind of get into how they'll match them up with Mills, or if Mills not being out.
Yeah, they blitzed Lamar Jackson a ton last week, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. It's generally not the playbook against Lamar, but if you're going to get super aggressive and blitz elite quarterbacks who can shred the blitz, and look, Rodgers been great against the blitz this year, this isn't the worst spot to do it. I don't want to say it's a good spot, but you know, in the past, you couldn't blitz because we talked about all those receivers before, Jordy Nelson, right. Davante Adams, like, you weren't covering those guys one-on-one down the field. You just weren't. So you're going to get open against the blitz. You got nobody downfield tackle. Am I getting ahead of myself for saying I think the Patriots should actually be able to win one-on-one across the board, the coverage matchups, at least a significant amount, enough? You know, we talked about it
when I was kind of thinking it over. Yeah, I think so.
Jalen Mills on Alan Lazard. I would say that's advantage Mills, right?
Yeah.
Jonathan Jones on Romeo Dubs. I would say
advantage
Jonathan Jones in the slot. Miles Bryant on Randall Cobb, wash. But if you get beat by Rodgers checking down against the blitz all day, that might be a win, right? If he's forcing the ball there. Robert Tonyan maybe scares me the most. If they don't have Kyle Duggar back, this game plan is a lot more scary. But I think Kyle Duggar can cover Robert Tonyan. Well, okay, now we might be in business. Again,
I
hate saying blitz Aaron Rodgers, because that's like, it sounds gross just saying
it. But you're also playing with house money this week in your own right. Like, you have Hoyer on offense. You're not expected to win the game. I'm kind of surprised. This is kind of a media opinion here, but like, I'm surprised they even have like Tony Romo and Jim Nantz on the call. Like, it kind of feels like this is just this kind of feels like a throwaway game with Hoyer there. I don't know.
Well, no, because they have to do a certain number of these game of the, like, it's the America's game of the week or whatever, right? It's the primetime, not primetime game. when they set this game.
Yeah, it's a 425. Yeah, you're right.
Romo and Nance were always calling this game. It's Patriots, Packers. That's, you know, massive national appeal. It was going to be Aaron Rodgers, the reigning MVP, versus Mac Jones, arguably the best rookie quarterback. I'm talking about when they set the schedule back in May, right? You had that. It's the Patriots at Lambeau Field. Meanwhile, how pissed is CBS? They have, I believe, the exclusive national late window, and their two games are, which probably looked great, Patriots, Packers, and Broncos, Raiders.
Which
you had, you know, these the two new AFC West powerhouses, and now Russ sucks, and the Raiders are the only winless team
Russ
in football.
Yeah, Russ can't score. Yeah, seriously.
Brutal, brutal break for CBS, but anyway.
Yeah. Where was I?
Yeah, so, okay, so yeah, so like we're saying.
Yeah.
I feel weird saying blitz Rodgers.
Oh, that's where
if they can. Here's the thing. If they can get pressure like they have with Judon, here's where it gets tricky, right? If you can get pressure with Judon, Barmore, and Wise, and then, you know, maybe you bring a fourth guy, maybe you bring Juwan Bentley, whatever, at a second level. Sure. But, you know, if you can get pressure with four and drop seven, you're actually in pretty good shape in this game.
Right. Because
guys shouldn't be getting open in that situation. Here's what the problem is. Barmore, Judon, Wise, that's not a run-defending defensive line. It's not. Those guys just aren't, outside of maybe Wise a little bit, those guys really aren't big-time run defenders. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this to open the show. Packers aren't trying to win this game by dropping back 40, 45 times. They're trying to run the football down your throat. So, okay, do you put those guys out there and see if they can stop the run? If those guys can stop the run, you're golden. If those guys are consistently stopping the run, Patriots might win this game.
I was going to say that's a good recipe for them.
It's a huge if, but you know, or do you go out there with, and they don't have Lawrence Guy, so I guess it would be Wise. Wise just plays a ton. So it'd still be Wise, Godshaw, and then probably, I don't know, maybe Daniel Okwale, or maybe they elevate a defensive lineman. Maybe it's LeBrian Ray. I'm missing somebody, Mike. Please bail me out here. But a third one of those big run-stopping defense linemen. Well, okay.
Did you say Sam Roberts?
I didn't say Sam Roberts, but he's not. I'm talking
okay,
about.
Okay, I'm just thinking D-line in general. Okay, gotcha.
Sorry, I'm trying to. I know I'm missing somebody. It's been a
good.
Long day. I don't know why I can't find this here. What did I miss? Now this is going to bug me. Carl Davis.
So yeah, that's your guy too. That's a guy who I had on the roster in our thing.
So you go out there with you know, do you go out there with Carl Davis, Devon Godshaw, Lawrence Guy, Daniel Okwale, right? And those guys are you're going to get better shots stop the run certainly, but. You know, you're not going to generate a pass rush with those guys.
Right.
Like, those just aren't pass rushers. So, thank you to everybody in the chat who had
it. Yeah, I know. I see it coming in now. Yeah.
So, that to me is where the real conflict is. It's not, well, are you blitzing Rodgers? Are you not? It's, are you going with that base run defense and essentially daring Aaron Rodgers to win the game with all these rookie and second year wide receivers? And I don't want to say what's left of Randall Cobb. He's somehow only 31. I thought he was like 35.
Yeah, that's bizarre. He feels older than that, yeah.
Right, but, you know, it sounds weird saying that. Do you, all right, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, go ahead, win the game. We're going to take away the run. But
right.
The way the Packers have played the first 3 weeks, that's almost what it dictates. And I put it this way on my show earlier, my 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots podcast, which people can check out. Who are you really defending? Are you defending the Packers? You know, do you come in with the mindset of, we're going to defend this Packers offense, or do you come in with the mindset of we're going to defend Aaron Rodgers first and foremost? Because those might be two different strategies, right?
No, yeah, I agree. Yeah, totally. And I kind of like, now that we're talking through it, we're kind of game planning here on our own here on the Patriots Beat podcast.
That's what the show
now,
is.
But yeah, exactly. I like this idea now of blitz Rodgers with what you have. And because again, you're, like I said, this is what I was alluding to prior before we went off on a tangent a little bit, but you're playing with house money, right? Nobody thinks you're going to win this game.
Here's the thing. They don't think that way. You can't go down that road. Cause I will tell you this. I know this for sure. They will never, they should tank. I bet Bill's tanking, you know?
Well, that's different. Tanking's different, I guess, but
no, that's what you say. Here's the thing. You saw The Last Dance, right?
Yeah.
You saw, okay. Do you remember, it's in the first or second episode when the Bulls are trying to lose that last game of the year against the Knicks because they want the draft position and Michael Jordan legitimately doesn't understand the point. Like, they have to pull him up because he can't comprehend. What do you mean draft position? Like, I'm out here. I'm playing. I'm going to win.
Right.
That's Bill Belichick has that same mindset. He's not it's not an option. It's not going to cross his mind. This is a game. He only has so many games that he's going to coach. He's not going to just Max hurt, whatever. We're playing with house money. Let's go nuts. No,
I guess you're right, but
he is going to do what it takes to win the game.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of what you were talking about earlier as far as, you know, reporting on the team. It's not what we think they should do. It's what we think think they're going to do. I think they should play that way. I don't know if they will play that way. It feels like that might be their best shot at it, but if they want to play the more conservative route and just kind of take what the Packers give them, then it might not end up being that way. Let's see. I'm just looking at some notes on the defense here, how they defend them. I think that kind of made sense how we laid it out there with Mills on Lazard, Jones on Dobbs, and kind of the slot's the slot in its own right. Another quick thought on Rob Tonyan. He had one pretty good year, but he does not impress me the way that he impresses some other people as far as like fantasy football wise goes and kind of the stuff I see on Twitter about Rob Tonyan. I think he's fine, but like even with Duggar being out, if you can cover him with, I know Adrian Phillips is also limited, but if you can cover him with like Phillips and Jabril Peppers, I don't think he's necessarily going to win a matchup against those two guys.
What about him doesn't impress you? I'm not saying he's like a top 5-10 in the league. He might be a fringe top 10. Let me ask you this. Robert Tonyan or Hunter Henry?
They're both guys who I feel like they're a little bit overrated because of their namesake. Like, I feel like Hunter Henry was such a stud in L.A. They brought him in, and he was, like, a short yarded and a huge red zone threat last year, and it kind of felt like he had this security blanket-type feel, him and Jacoby with Mac, and he's just not impressing me either this year. He's not getting open. He's not that good. And I kind of feel the same way with Tonyan. I feel like Tunyon's living off that one good year he had with, again, some similar, like, red zone targets and a lot of touchdowns. Not that he doesn't impress me. I mean, he's a good tight end, but if you're going to take away Rodgers' best guys and then it's going to be the Robert Tonyan game, I don't think that's a good recipe to have, is my point.
For the Packers or for the Patriots?
For the Packers.
Right. Okay. So just for context, people don't know, 2020, Robert Tonyan caught 52 passes for 586 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Last year, he's hurt. He only played half the year. He was still pretty much on that pace for catches and yards. The touchdown number was way down, but I'll give you that. That touchdown number in 2020 is inflated.
Yeah, it was high.
Way, same with way Henry more. He's way more involved in the offense this year. He was never a volume guy. He was kind of the guy that, you know, you had to cover Devontae Adams. You had to cover this guy. You had to cover that guy. Robert Tonyan was kind of the guy that got left alone. Now, not everybody can necessarily take advantage of that. I know it sounds easy. Oh, they're leaving him alone. Not every tight end can win one-on-one against, you know, the average safety.
Right.
Tonyan can do that. That, to me, is impressive. So, Phillips, to me, that I don't want to call it a mismatch, but I look twice at that. Duggar should be able to take care of him. Kyle Duggar should.
Right, I agree. Yeah.
You know, if it's Adrian Phillips, it's Jabril Peppers, I maybe think a little bit more about it.
I agree. It's different. Again, it's Duggar. Duggar's definitely a guy who can shut him down. But I have a little bit more confidence in guys like
How big do you think Tonyan is?
Height wise or height weight, both?
Like height weight. Wait, yeah. Like how big do you think he is?
6'2", 230. 6'2", 230.
What if I told you he's 6'5", 237?
Tall. I didn't think he was that tall.
It's funny. Like I had the same thought with Robert Tonyan once where I looked at, he can move well. That's nice. Yeah. But like normally the tight ends that move like him are like 6'1", 6'2", right?
Right.
Really well for his size.
Yeah,
I don't think people realize how big he is. So
I didn't realize he was that tall.
That's my Robert Tonyan thing.
No, it's not a bad point. You talked me off the ledge a little bit. Again, that's why we're here.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's the best tight end in the league.
Right.
Somebody brought up Brock Bowers in the chat. No, he's not Brock Bowers, but I think Hunter Henry, that kind of, you know, fringe top 10. He's not 10, he's 11 or 12. Probably belongs in that area.
So are you?
Let's not forget the legend Mercedes Lewis. You know how long Mercedes Lewis has been in the NFL, Mike?
Too long. I'm gonna say 13.
He wore the Jaguars' original uniform, like the good one, like the Mark Brunell one,
with like the black helmet.
Black helmet with the Jaguar on the sleeve. Not only did he wear it, he wore it after his rookie year.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
That's how long Mercedes-Lewis has been in the league. I don't know how much Andretti is. They're not throwing the ball this year. He's a blocker at this point, but
And he didn't participate today, so he probably won't be in.
But just shout out to him. 17 years in the NFL, man. You got
17? Holy mackerel. Yep. That's insane. Yep. Good for him. But all right.
A tight end, too. Not as a kicker. It's a tight end.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's get into it. We'll go prediction time. Thoughts on the game. I was watching last week's to kind of do a little prep work here before today's show, and Spags had said that you're not much of a prediction guy, but kind of your thoughts, I guess, then on how the Patriots can win this game at like overall. And yeah, so if you want to give a prediction, please do.
We don't necessarily pick a winner and a score on this show, you know, because it's we're a little too analytical for that. It's more like the general, you know, what kind of game is it going to be? What are the keys, like you said? And I'll say what I said earlier in the show. I think the Patriots got to run the crap out of the ball, shorten the game, fewer, like that magic number of 8 possessions, right? If you can make it 8 or fewer possessions, you're in great shape if you're the Patriots. Great shape.
Agreed.
Run the ball, limit possessions, win the turnover battle, shorten the game. If they can do that, they're in good shape. I don't know if it's quite enough because it's Aaron Rodgers. It's kind of what I said last year they faced Brady. But I think you're in good shape at that point.
Yeah, I would agree. I'll do it because I'm relatively new to this show. I will give a prediction and a pick. I won't give a score, but I'll kind of give an angle and kind of where I think the game will go.
So I'll say this. So I think right now, was it still 9.5 Packers?
Yes, 9.5 as of earlier this afternoon.
I actually think the Patriots cover that. I think it's a one-score game.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a very low-scoring game. It's got 19-13, 17-12. Like, it's going to be some weird crap like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be low-scoring. I think the Patriots are going to play that Brian Hoyer-ish, like, long possession, slow possession kind of game that we think they're going to, similar to what they did in Buffalo last year, similar to what they did against Kansas City 2 years ago. And I think they're kind of built to compete that way. It had happened. They were competing. Like we said, they were competing towards the end of that Kansas City game and then it unraveled. But like, they can stay close in a game like that, especially against this Packers team who hasn't been as like 100% on offense as we thought they were going to. So I think at the end of the day, I think the Packers ultimately pull it out at the end. I think they're going to be the better team here and they're going to show that, you know, at home in Lambeau Field. But I think the Patriots cover 9.5, and I think it goes way under 40. 40.5, I think the total was.
Is it 40?
Yeah, it was 40.40.5.
What do they know?
I don't know, but that's still incredibly high. That's like, I mean, you see them in the 30s every once in a while, but I mean, there are games where if you
shout
see
out
like
Rutgers,
a Chiefs.
Rutgers, Iowa, 34.5.
34.5. Wow, where is that
Rutgers,
game?
Rutgers, Iowa last week. It was the lowest over-under between two big Power 5 schools in the last 10 years.
What was the final? I didn't see.
I went over. Rutgers gave up like 3 pick sixes.
Okay, I did see that. Yeah. No, I feel like those games, that kind of reminds me, and now we're getting into college football talk, which Barth is probably fired up about, but like games like that, you see like the Army-Navy game at the end of the year, the total is always like 33, 34.5, and it always goes under. It's always like a 10-7 game. You always take the under. But anyway. That's my prediction. Pat's cover goes under. You can check the rest of it out. I kind of get into some players to watch and a little bit of storylines as far as the Pats and Packers go. You can check that out on clnsmedia.com. That's what me and Alex have for our Patriots Packers preview. But we wanted to kind of get into a little bit of Thursday night football stuff here at the end because we have a pretty good game coming up in about 15, 20 minutes now. And we have the Bengals, it's Dolphins at Bengals. I was thinking of where the game was at. It's definitely not in Miami because that place is getting ruined right now by Hurricane Ian. But Bengals are 3.5-point favorites. I'm not sure what the total is. I feel like this is a game that the Bengals are going to win, and I think they're going to kind of put Miami in their place a little bit. I think it might be close, but I think the Bengals pull it out at the end. I think they've had a tough start to the year, but prime time, Joe Burrow. Did you see what Joe Burrow pulled up in this afternoon?
No.
He pulled up in some flowery, ridiculous suit. I know you're not into all that jazz. You're into let's talk about the game. So what do you think about the game? Yeah. Where do you think this one goes?
Can Miami run their 12-player plays, right?
Yeah, that was crazy, huh? Yeah.
So if you didn't see it, Miami, because of the hurricane, they're practicing at University of Cincinnati, and you can see the stadium's like, it's one of those ones where it's like below ground level, right, where you walk into the stadium and you walk down to get to the field. people recorded Miami at practice because you could just walk by, the students could see in, and it was this whole thing. The Dolphins weren't pleased. And then it comes out today that the Dolphins knew they were being recorded, so they were running plays with 12 players.
I don't want to say, do you buy that? Because if there's 12 players on the field, then of course you buy that there's guys up there. But I wonder how they knew that there were guys up there.
Oh, maybe no, you can see, you know, you could totally see. I talked to somebody who's there, like, who goes to that stadium all the time. Like,
okay,
they weren't hiding. Like, you could see, it's very clear that you're in view of people. I was not a big Mike McDaniel guy to start season. He's growing on me. I think he's been outstanding to this point. I like what Miami's doing. I've said this before. I definitely give credit and put weight on teams that not just add talent, but build around their quarterback and build offenses that can operate within the skill set and the strengths of their quarterback. And I think Miami has done a better job of that than maybe any team in the league. So I'm actually very high on Miami right now. That being said, if the Bengals they come out of nowhere last year. Joe Burrow gets hurt his rookie year. They're a bad team. Right. Comes back off the torn ACL. Nobody knows what to expect. They're good, not great. And they get super hot in the playoffs. They go to Super Bowl, right? And then people start talking about them as the next team up, potentially, in the AFC. If the Bengals are the real deal and Joe Burrow's the real the real deal, right? He's great NFL quarterback.
Right.
But if he's like that guy, Joe Cool, he's Joe, I'm not going to do the noise
Burr,
or whatever.
Or whatever. Joe Scheisty. Like, that's not our place.
How many times did we see the Patriots? Yeah, they did this against the Bengals, right? They were on a Cincinnati game. They were, whatever it was, 0-2, 1-3, whatever, going into that game, written off. And then it's, hey, they need a win, right? They need to win this game and change the guard and torched them.
Yep.
If Joe Burrow's really that guy, he's him, as the kids like to say.
And Alex, you're killing it right now. We need to get a Joe Burrow out of you by the end of this thing.
Super contender team. Miami's coming in. They're the new team. They're the hot shot new coach. Yep. Only undefeated team left in the AFC. People are ready to crown them. Coming into your house. The Bengals are really that team with that edge. If they're the nasty, mean AFC North Bengals, they're going to come out and make a statement tonight. So
I agree.
I'm torn because I do believe the Bengals are that team, but I think Miami's legit. So I'm torn. I'm going to give it to the Bengals because road team rarely wins on Thursday night. Dolphins have had a tough week dealing with the hurricane, being on the road and everything, but it's going to be a fun game.
It's going to be a good game to watch. I'm excited for it. It's kicking off in about 15 minutes. A couple last thoughts just on that with Tua. We kind of crapped on Tua during our first post-game show, I think, after Miami. I forget if you joined us or not, but it was me, John, and Spags for a little while. Tua has impressed me a lot so far this year. I think he's done a lot more with kind of what he has with McDaniel around him and stuff, but he also kind of does himself no favors in the way, like, the thing he was saying about, I can't see over the linemen, and like, he's always trending on Twitter. He's always kind of a meme. But I think what you said about McDaniel, it's a good point too. Like, I wasn't super high on him. He's a great play caller, and he learned under one of the best in Kyle Shanahan. I kind of say that to give you a little poke because I know you're not really a Kyle Shanahan.
I mean, that's all the guys from that tree. Great. That's what they all are. There's a lot of guys that are great OCs and not necessarily great head coaches. McDaniel might be the trend breaker.
I was going to say, and I didn't have that confidence in him early as far as being a head coach because he is that quirky guy. He's 5'10", 180, whatever he is, basically a wet towel. It's like, how are you going to, when the going gets tough, how is this guy going to kind of rally the troops? We've yet to have to see that, obviously, because they're 3-0. But if they do go down against Cincy tonight, is this their downfall, or are they able to kind of rally the troops in that regard after the fact? We'll see how it goes. But
let's not forget, it is the Dolphins throwbacks, top five uniform in football, against the debut of the Bengals white helmets, the all-white uniforms.
That's going to be,
also worth keeping in mind.
I have some against the grain, if you will, uniform takes about different teams around the league. Like, I don't like the Patriots red throwbacks. I think
that's
they have to go.
It's not a bad take.
It's the right take.
I need another co-host.
No,
that's like a tenet of this show. The Patriot red uniforms are top five in NFL history. That's what a good player uniform should look like.
They're very overrated. They're very overrated.
They're not. But what about them is overrated?
It's just like
and don't say the British wore red.
No. I don't care about the British. Everyone gasses the uniforms, and it's like they're good. They used to wear them, but then they go away, and everyone's pounding their fists on Twitter like, oh, we need the red ones back. And it's like, why can't they bring something else back? Like the Drew Bledsoe blue uniforms with the big Pat Patriot on the sleeve. Those are much better uniforms. Those are much better than the red ones.
Maybe the jersey's better, but the entire look with the helmet, the white helmet with the white
I'm a fan of the white helmet, yeah.
Here's the thing. Across the board, white helmet, it is all football. White helmet, good look. White face mask, good look. So when you pair those two, it's excellent. Yeah, okay, I love the Flying Elvis show. If you want to say those jerseys, like the actual jersey.
Correct,
the entire uniform,
yeah, that's where I'm at.
The entire uniform, the red is elite. Here's the thing, you're too young. Because you're saying, oh, nobody cared until they got rid of them. Back in the day when the Patriots actually wore red in the rotation, right? That was always like a huge deal. When they wore red, people would buy tickets to go to the red uniform games. This isn't like a new thing like, oh, they got rid of them and it became this weird niche hipster thing. No, the red jerseys were always, always, always a big deal.
I just think the blues are better. But regardless, what I was going to say about, you know, I'm against the green uniform guy. These Bengals uniforms tonight are sick. The white helmets are sick, and
I like them as an alternate.
And it's early
if they were the uniform all the time.
Yeah, I agree.
They're a good once in a while thing.
It's early enough in the season too, where those candy looking uniforms that Miami wears, they're not like wearing them in the middle of the winter, so you don't look like idiots kind of out there playing in snow in the teal. So they can kind of be fast in those things tonight. So it's going to be a pretty good one. So I guess that's it to wrap. We gave our picks for Dolphins-Bengals. We gave our picks for Pats-Packers. We kind of went through everything here. I will be back on here alongside Alex, I believe, next week for some Pats beat. We'll recap
Tuesday.
The game on Tuesday. Yeah. So we'll recap the game on Sunday's game on Tuesday. We'll also be on here Sunday after the game for a Pats-Packers postgame show, so make sure to check us out on here. Always read Alex on 98.5thesportshub.com. He's got the best stuff on that site, Patriots, as well as all Boston sports in general. I'm Mike Cadlick. You can check out my stuff on clnsmedia.com. We have some sports betting previews with Pats Packers, and then also some games to watch coming down the pipe as well. A lot to plug, a lot to check out, but I'm Mike Cadlick. That's for Alex Barth, and we will see you on Tuesday. Thanks for watching, guys.